Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4, verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? We're going to continue with our series on the seven deadly sins. And tonight we're going to talk about the deadly sin of anger. The deadly sin of anger. This is contributed by David Reynolds. Amen. This has been a blessing and help. We wanted to continue to bless your lives. A man by the name of Peter Johnson wrote this story on April 14, 1988, in an issue of USA Today. He said, Have you ever noticed that sometimes we get angry and we remain bitter with people and actually forget why we're so upset? Take, for example, the notorious Hatfield and McCoy feud. It hit the newspapers, the front pages in the 1880s, when the Hatfield clan feuded with the McCoy clan from across the border in Kentucky. Historians disagree on the causes of the feud, which captured the imagination of the nation during the 10-year run. Some Civil War tension. McCoy sympathized with the unions and Hatfields with the Confederacy. Others say it began when the McCoys blamed the Hatfields for stealing hogs. As many as 100 men and women and children died in this feud. In May 1976, Jim McCoy and Willis Hatfield, the last two survivors of the original family, shook hands at a public ceremony dedicating a monument to six of the victims. McCoy died February 11, 1984, at the age of 99. He bore no grudges and had his burial handed by the Hatfield Funeral Home in Toller, Kentucky. Nobody really knows what the feud was all about, but there was a lot of angry people. You see, folks, in human relationships, there are two types of anger. There's a righteous anger, and there's an unrighteous anger. Now, we're not going to get into the righteous anger, but we're going to look into considering the deadly sin of anger. You see, sinful anger is vicious, self-destructive, self-defensive. Who or what makes you angry tonight? You see, our anger is usually directed against other people. And these may be individuals, it may be groups, it may be nations, it may be government leaders. But more than not, we unleash our anger against some particular individual, against a particular family member, against a friend, maybe against a coworker. Maybe you direct your anger at your boss. Maybe it's a brother in the Lord or a sister in the Lord. Maybe it's your neighbor. And preachers are often the object of people's anger. You see, anger doesn't come out of nowhere. It's not an original emotion. In one degree or another, anger is our response to whatever endangers something that we love. Think about that. I'll say it again. In one degree or another, anger is our response to whatever endangers something that we love. A man by the name of Tim Keller in Healing of the Anger says, It is an uncorrupted origin. Anger is actually a form of love. Anger is love in motion. To deal with a threat to someone or something that we truly care about. Now, when you hear that it's actually love, you think about it. If you love your pride and somebody does something to hinder that pride, you get mad. If you love your ego and somebody pops your little bubble, you get mad. So, anger is love in motion to deal with a threat to someone or something we truly care about. And in many ways, it can be right. You see, the question isn't who gets angry, but why we all get angry. It is right that we get angry with the delivery guy who speeds down our street when our kids are playing in the front yard. Right? That makes sense. The delivery guy put our children in danger. It also would be right that we get angry about the hideous evil in different countries around the world. But folks, listen, if we're honest, as much as there are right instances for anger, most of our anger isn't connected to the incidental dangers surrounding our children or the wicked injustices happening around the world. But as much as we love our children and we care about innocent victims, or anger, our anger typically points to other loves, disorder loves, as Tim Keller calls it. So, disorder loves or inordinate affections are a part of the old age problem of taking good things and making them ultimate. You see, it is a slippery terrain when that goes from really loving our children to finding our identity in them and to thinking that our lives are pointless without the prosperity of our future generations. It's that insidious shift that turns blessings into idiots. And when our love, when our loves get disordered, or our anger goes haywire, we'll find ourselves getting annoyed at the simplest, most harmless things. The things that really should not make us angry. There's nothing wrong with being ticked, getting angry to a degree if somebody slights your reputation. But why are you 10 times or maybe even 100 times more angry about somebody slighting your reputation than some horrible, violent injustice being done to people in other parts of the world? Amen? You see, if we find ourselves angry about getting snubbed, the problem might be that we love ourselves too much. You know why? Because that if what you really looking, if what really you're looking good in, is you want your have that good reputation, you want to have good status, your significance, your security, all that is in people's approval. Amen? That's what you're really looking for. You're looking for the approval of people. Therefore, you have a good reputation. You have a good status or standing or significance or security. Then when anything gets between you and the thing that you have to have, you become very angry. See, in ourselves, we have to have approval from other people. We want to have good standing with other people. We want all these things, security at the job situation. So when something that we don't comes between that, we get angry. So you have to have it. You're over the top. You can't just shrug it off. You have to have that approval. You have to have that pat on the back. And when you don't get it, because you love it so much, you get angry. If we find ourselves angry about getting snubbed in social media, if we find ourselves getting angry about being cut off in traffic, If we find ourselves angry about going unrecognized at work, if we find ourselves getting angry about having an idea shut down, if we find ourselves angry about feeling unappreciated by our spouse, the problem might be that we love ourselves or something too much. See, two such cases are found in the New Testament, in Jesus and with Paul. When you read in Luke 4 that after hearing Jesus preach in his hometown synagogue of Nazareth, everyone in the synagogue was filled with rage. They got up, they drove him out of town and led him to the brow of a hill so that they might hurl him off the cliff. In Acts 19 in Ephesus, was not any easier on Paul. And Paul's message throughout Rome emphasized that gods made with hands are not gods at all. That infuriated the silversmiths at Ephesus, led by Demetrius, for that message threatened their lucrative business centered in making idols to Diana, the patron goddess of Ephesus. You see, they loved something too much, didn't they? See, the result was a mob riot. Proverbs has many wise warnings concerning the dangers of uncontrolled anger. In Proverbs 15, verse 18, a hot head starts fights. A cool-tempered person tries to stop them. In Proverbs 19, verse 19, hot-tempered people must pay the penalty. If you rescue them once, you will have to do it again. Proverbs 22, 24 through 25. Don't befriend angry people or associates with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. Proverbs 29, 22. An angry person starts fights. A hot-tempered person commits all kinds of sin. So, folks, how does hot-tempered person sin? According to Jesus in Matthew 5, anger is the root cause of murder. He had a warning in Matthew 5, 21 to 23. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Reka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, go take care of it. Anger, folks, led Cain to murder his brother Abel. He was angry. He was angry at both God. He was angry at Abel. Why? Because God had accepted Abel's offering, but rejected Cain's. Sounds like a pride issue. Or he wanted that pat on the back. Genesis 4, 6 through 7, why are you angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. Hear that? Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. Anger, folks, that emotion, anger mastered Cain. And he murdered his innocent brother. I had a talk one time with a young man who had severe anger problems. And I said, if you don't get this under control, it's going to control you. It wasn't too long after that, he was mad about something. Going down the road 140 miles an hour, lost control of his car, hit the middle wall. Hurt himself, hurt a bunch of people in his car really bad. He ended up spending 3 years in the penitentiary. Because he wouldn't control anger. You see, probably 90% or maybe more are sitting in the penitentiary because anger controlled them instead of them controlling their emotions. A man by the name of Erwin Lutzer, in Managing Your Emotion, he wrote this. He said, "We all know that Alexander the Great conquered the world, but what few people know is that his mighty general could not conquer himself. You see, Clitius, a dear friend of Alexander's and a general in his army, became intoxicated and ridiculed the emperor in front of his men. Blinded by anger, quick as lightning, Alexander snatched a spear from the hand of a soldier and he hurled it at Clitius. Though he had only intended to scare the drunken general, his aim was true, and the spear took the life of his childhood friend. Deep remorse followed his anger. Overcome with guilt, Alexander tried to take his own life with the same spear, but was stopped by his men. For days, he lay sick, calling his friend Clitius, chiding himself as a murderer." See, Luke observes that Alexander the Great conquered many cities. He conquered many countries, but he failed miserably to conquer his own self. And folks, that's just as it did with Cain. Cain's anger mastered Cain, and Alexander's anger mastered him. What is the key to overcoming vicious anger? Well, if you look in Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32, then we're going to jump down to chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." See, we have to repent. We must repent of our anger. We must repent of our wrath and malice. And we must allow, folks, the Holy Spirit to empower us to be kind, to be tender-hearted, to be forgiving to those who have wronged us, who have hurt us. Men of Integrity magazine made this statement: "Doing an injury puts you below your enemy. Revenging one makes you even with them. Forgiving it sets you above them." We don't want to go down to others' level. We want to stay above. Amen? So, if you do an injury, it puts you below your enemy. If you revenge one, it makes you even with them. But if you forgive them, it sets you above. You see, folks, Christians don't lash out in anger. Christians don't reach out to get revenge. We love, we forgive those who have wronged us, remembering what Paul said in Romans 12, verse 19. "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay.'" You see, God, folks, it's in God's time. In God's times, He will right all the wrongs without any assistance from us. Amen? When we are tempted to be angry, and when we are tempted to get revenge, we must obey. Romans 12, 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." You see, when we seek vengeance, evil begins to triumph. And when we forgive, good overcomes evil. The late Corrie ten Boom once said, "Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hate." When you paraphrase Romans 12:21, it could read like this: "Be not overcome by anger, but overcome anger with love, patience, and forgiveness." Are you harboring bitterness? Are you harboring anger, resentment, hatred? Are you harboring these things in your heart for someone today? Do you desire revenge? You need to talk with Jesus about those feelings. Let's stand here today. See, if you talk to the Lord about those feelings, then walking in the power of His Spirit, you need to shower that person in God's love. See, sometimes when I get angry, I try, Lord, bless them. Lord, bless them. Help them. Prosper them. Because I can't hang on to stuff. The Holy Ghost will honor your prayer if you pray that way. And your faith, it'll honor your faith. It will. The Holy Ghost will empower you to overcome anger. It will empower you with love and patience. It will empower you with forgiveness. We must forgive. And not only say you forgive, but truly forgive.